Chapter 34. General Woundwort. Like an obelisk towards which the principal streets of a town converge, the strong will of a proud spirit stands prominent and commanding in the middle of the art of war. Close of its on war. Dusk was falling on Ephrafah. In the failing light, General Woundwort was watching the near hind mark at Silfley, along the edge of the great pasture field that lay between the warren and the iron road. Most of the rabbits were feeding near the mark holes, which were close beside the field, concealed among the trees and undergrowth, bordering a lonely bridle path. A few, however, had ventured out into the field to browse and play in the last of the sun. Further out still were the sentries of the Ousler, on the alert for the approach of men or Elil, and also for any rabbit who might stray too far to be able to get underground quickly if there should be an alarm. Captain Cherville, one of the two officers of the mark, had just returned from a round of his sentries and was talking to some of the does near the centre of the mark ground when he saw the general approaching. He looked quickly about to see whether anything was at fault. Since all seemed to be well, he began nibbling at a patch of sweet vernal with the best air of indifference that he could manage. General Woundwort was a singular rabbit. Some 3 years before, he had been born, the strongest of a litter of five, in a burrow outside a cottage garden near Coal Hindley. His father, a happy-go-lucky and reckless buck, had thought nothing of living close to human beings, except that he would be able to forage in their garden in the early morning. He had paid dearly for his rashness. After 2 or 3 weeks of spoiled lettuces and nibbled cabbage plants, the cottager had lain in wait and shot him as he came through the potato patch at dawn. The same morning, the man set to work to dig out the doe and her growing litter. Woundwort's mother escaped, racing across the kale field toward the downs, her kittens doing their best to follow her. None but Woundwort succeeded. His mother, bleeding from a shotgun pellet, made her way along the hedges in broad daylight, with Woundwort limping beside her. It was not long before a weasel picked up the scent of the blood and followed it. The little rabbit cowered in the grass, while his mother was killed before his eyes. He made no attempt to run. But the weasel, its hunger satisfied, left him alone and made off through the bushes. Several hours later, a kind old schoolmaster from Overton, walking through the fields, came upon Woundwort, nuzzling the cold, still body and crying. He carried him home to his own kitchen and saved his life, feeding him with milk from a nasal dropper until he was old enough to eat bran and green stuff. But Woundwort grew up very wild, and like Cooper's hare, would bite when he could. In a month he was big and strong and had become savage. He nearly killed the schoolmaster's cat, which had found him at liberty in the kitchen, and tried to torment him. One night, a week later, he tore the wire from the front of his hutch and escaped to the open country. Most rabbits in his situation, lacking almost all experience of wildlife, would have fallen victim at once to the Elil, but not Woundwort. After a few days wandering, he came upon a small warren, and snarling and clawing, forced them to accept him. Soon he became chief rabbit, having killed both the previous chief and a rival named Firin. In combat, he was terrifying, fighting entirely to kill, indifferent to any wounds he received himself, and closing with his adversaries until his weight overbore and exhausted them. Those who had no heart to oppose him were not long in feeling that here was a leader indeed. Woundwort was ready to fight anything except a fox. One evening, he attacked and drove off a foraging Aberdeen puppy. He was impervious to the fascination of the Musteladi, and hoped some day to kill a weasel, if not a stoat. When he had explored the limits of his own strength, he set to work to satisfy his longing for still more power in the only possible way, by increasing the power of the rabbits about him. He needed a bigger kingdom. Men were the great danger, but this could be circumvented by cunning and discipline. He left the small warren, taking his followers with him, and set out to look for a place suited to his purpose, where the very existence of rabbits could be concealed and extermination made very difficult. Ephrapha grew up round the crossing point of two green bridle paths, one of which, the east-west, was tunnel-like, bordered on both sides by a thick growth of trees and bushes. The immigrants, under Wundwert's direction, dug their holes between the roots of the trees, in the undergrowth and along the ditches. From the first, the warren prospered. Wundwert watched over them with a tireless zeal that won their loyalty even while they feared him. When the does stopped digging, Wundwert himself went on with their work while they slept. If a man was coming, Wundwert spotted him half a mile away. He fought rats, magpies, grey squirrels, and once a crow. When litters were kindled, he kept an eye on their growth, picked out the strongest youngsters for the Ausla, and trained them himself. He would allow no rabbit to leave the warren. Quite early on, three who tried to do so were hunted down and forced to return. As the warren grew, so Wundwert developed his system to keep it under control. Crowds of rabbits feeding at morning and evening were likely to attract attention. He devised the marks, each controlled by his own officers and sentries, with feeding times changed regularly to give all a share of early morning and sunset, the favourite hours for Silfley. All signs of rabbit life were concealed as closely as possible. The Ausla had privileges in regard to feeding, mating, and freedom of movement. Any failure of duty on their part was liable to be punished by demotion and loss of privileges. For ordinary rabbits, the punishments were more severe. When it was no longer possible for Wundwert to be everywhere, the council was set up. Some of the members came from the Ausla, but others were selected solely for their loyalty or their cunning as advisers. Old Snowdrop was growing deaf, but no one knew more than he about organizing a warren for safety. On his advice, the runs and burrows of the various marks were not connected underground, so that disease or poison, if they came, would spread less readily. Conspiracy would also spread less readily. To visit the burrows of another mark was not allowed without an officer's permission. It was on Snowdrop's advice, too, that Wundwert at length ordered that the warren was not to extend further on account of the risk of detection and the weakening of central control. He was persuaded only with difficulty, for the new policy frustrated his restless desire of power after power. This now needed another outlet, and soon after the warren had been stopped from growing, he introduced the wide patrols. The wide patrols began as mere forays or raids, led by Wundwert into the surrounding country. He would simply pick four or five of the Ausla and take them out to look for trouble. On the first occasion, they were lucky enough to find and kill a sick owl that had eaten a mouse that had eaten poison-dressed seed corn. On the next, they came upon two Hlesel, whom they compelled to return with them to join the warren. Wundwert was no mere bully. He knew how to encourage other rabbits and to fill them with a spirit of emulation. It was not long before his officers were asking to be allowed to lead patrols. Wundwert would give them tasks, to search for Hlesel in a certain direction or to find out whether a particular ditch or barn contained rats which could later be attacked in force and driven out. Only from farms and gardens were they ordered to keep clear. One of these patrols, led by a certain Captain Orcus, discovered a small warren 2 miles to the east, beyond the King's Clear Overton Road, on the outskirts of Nutley Copse. The general led an expedition against it and broke it up, the prisoners being brought back to Ephrapha, where a few of them later rose to be Ausla members themselves. As the months went on, the wide patrols became systematic. During summer and early autumn, there were usually two or three out at a time. There came to be no other rabbits for a long way round Ephrafah, and any who might wander into the neighbourhood by chance were quickly picked up. Casualties in the wide patrols were high, for the Elil got to know that they went out. Often it would take all a leader's courage and skill to complete his task and bring his rabbits, or some of his rabbits, back to the warren. But the Ausla were proud of the risks they ran, and besides, Wundwort was in the habit of going out himself to see how they were getting on. A patrol leader, more than a mile from Ephrafah, limping up a hedgerow in the rain, would come upon the general, squatting like a hare under a tussock of darnel, and find himself required, then and there, to report what he had been doing or why he was off his route. The patrols were the training grounds of cunning trackers, swift runners, and fierce fighters. And the casualties, although there might be as many as five or six in a bad month, suited Wundwort's purpose, for numbers needed keeping down, and there were always fresh vacancies in the Ausla, which the younger bucks did their best to be good enough to fill. To feel that rabbits were competing to risk their lives at his orders gratified Wundwort, although he believed, and so did his council and his Ausla, that he was giving the warren peace and security at a price which was modest enough. Nevertheless, this evening, as he came out from among the ash trees to talk to Captain Cherval, the general was feeling seriously concerned about several things. It was less and less easy to keep the size of the warren under control. Overcrowding was becoming a grave problem, and this despite the fact that many of the does were reabsorbing their litters before birth. While their doing so was all to the good in itself, some of them were growing restive and hard to manage. Not long ago, a group of does had come before the council and asked to leave the warren. They had been peaceable at first, offering to go as far away as the council wished, but when it had become plain that their request was not going to be granted on any terms, they had become first petulant and then aggressive, and the council had had to take strong measures. There was still a good deal of bad feeling over the business. Then, in the third place, the Ausla had lately lost a certain amount of respect among the rank and file. Four wandering rabbits, giving themselves out to be some kind of embassy from another warren, had been held and impressed into the right flank mark. He had intended, later, to find out where they had come from, but they had succeeded in playing a very simple trick, bamboozling the mark commander, attacking his sentries and escaping by night. Captain Bugloss, the officer responsible, had, of course, been demoted and expelled from the Ausla, but his disgrace, though very proper, only added to the general's difficulties. The truth was that Ephrafah had become, for the moment, short of good officers. Ordinary Ausla, sentries, were not too hard to find, but officers were another matter, and he had lost three in less than a month. Bugloss was as good as a casualty. He would never hold rank again. But worse, Captain Charlock, a brave and resourceful rabbit, while leading the pursuit of the fugitives, had been run down on the iron road by a train, a further proof, if any were needed, of the wicked malice of men. Worst of all, only two nights ago, a patrol which had been out to the north had returned with the shocking news that its leader, Captain Mallow, an officer of exceptional prestige and experience, had been killed by a fox. It was an odd business. The patrol had picked up the scent of a fairly large party of rabbits, evidently coming toward Ephrafah from the north. They had been following it, but had not yet sighted their quarry, when suddenly a strange rabbit had burst in upon them as they were nearing the edge of some woodland. They had, of course, tried to stop him, and at that moment the fox, which had apparently been following him closely, had come from the open coombe beyond and killed poor Mallow in an instant. All things considered, the patrol had come away in good order, and Grounzel, the second in command, had done well. But nothing more had been seen of the strange rabbit, and the loss of Mallow, with nothing to show for it, had upset and demoralized the Ausla a good deal. Other patrols had been sent out at once, but all that they had established was that the rabbits from the north had crossed the Iron Road and disappeared southward. It was intolerable that they should have passed so close to Ephrafa and gone their way without being apprehended. Even now, they might possibly be caught, if only there were a really enterprising officer to put in charge of the search. It would certainly need an enterprising officer, Captain Campion, perhaps, for patrols seldom crossed the Iron Road, and the wet country beyond, the country near the river, was only partly known. He would have gone himself, but with the recent disciplinary troubles in the Warren, he could not take the risk, and Campion could hardly be spared just now. No. Infuriating as it was, the strangers were best forgotten for the moment. The first thing was to replace the Ausla losses, and preferably with rabbits who knew how to deal ruthlessly with any further signs of dissension. They would simply have to promote the best they had got, draw their horns in for a time, and concentrate on training until things got back to normal. Wundvoort greeted Captain Chervil rather abstractedly, and went on turning the problem over in his mind.
"What are your sentries like, Chervil?" he asked at length. "Do I know any of them?"
"They're a good lot, sir," replied Chervil. "You know Marjoram. He's been on patrol with you as a runner. And I think you know Moneywort."
"Yes, I know them," said Wundvoort. "But they wouldn't make officers. We need to replace Charlock and Mallow. That's what I'm getting at."
"That's difficult, sir," said Chervil. "That sort of rabbit doesn't hop out of the grass."
"Well, they've got to hop from somewhere," said Wundvoort. "You'd better think about it and tell me any ideas that occur to you. Anyway, I want to go round your sentries now. Come with me, will you?"
They were about to set off when a third rabbit approached. None other than Captain Campion himself. It was Campion's principal duty to search the outskirts of Ephrafa at morning and evening, and to report anything new. The tire marks of a tractor in mud, the droppings of a sparrowhawk, or the spreading of fertilizer on a field. An expert tracker, he missed little or nothing, and was one of the very few rabbits for whom Wundvoort felt a genuine respect.
"You want me?" said Wundvoort, pausing.
"Well, I think so, sir," replied Campion. "We picked up a Hlesi and brought him in."
"Where was he?"
"Down by the arch, sir, just this side of it."
"What was he doing?"
"Well, sir, he says he's come a long way on purpose to join Ephrafa. That's why I thought you might like to see him."
"Wants to join Ephrafa?" asked Wundvoort, puzzled.
"That's what he says, sir."
"Why can't the council see him tomorrow?"
"Just as you like, sir, of course. He strikes me as being a bit out of the ordinary. I'd say a distinctly useful rabbit."
"Hmm," said Wundvoort, considering. "Well, all right. I'm going along, though. Where is he now?"
"At the Crixer, sir."
Campion meant the crossing point of the two bridle paths, which was about 50 yards away among the trees.
"Two of my patrol are with him."
Wundvoort made his way back to the Crixer. Chervil, being on duty with his mark, remained where he was. Campion accompanied the general. At this hour, the Crixer was all green shade, with red gleams of sun that winked through the moving leaves. The damp grass along the edges of the paths was dotted with spikes of mauve bugle, and the sanicles and yellow archangels flowered thickly. Under an elder bush on the far side of the track, two Auslafa, or council police, were waiting, and with them was the stranger. Wundvoort saw at once what Campion had meant. The stranger was a big rabbit, heavy but alert, with a rugged, seasoned appearance and the look of a fighter. He had a curious thick growth of fur, a kind of topknot on the crown of his head. He stared at Wundvoort with a detached, appraising air, which the general had not encountered for a very long time.
"Who are you?" said Wundvoort.
"My name is Thlaley," replied the stranger. "Thlaley, sir," prompted Campion.
The stranger said nothing.
"The patrol brought you in, I'm told. What were you doing?"
"I've come to join Ephrafa."
"Why?"
I'm surprised you ask. Sure, Warren, isn't it? Is there anything odd about someone wanting to join? Woundwort was nonplussed. He was no fool, and it was he could not help feeling extremely odd that any right-minded rabbit should choose to walk into Ephrafa of his own accord. But he could hardly say so. What can you do? I can run and fight and spoil a story telling it. I've been an officer in an Ausla. Fight, can you? Could you fight him? Said Woundwort, looking at Campion. Certainly, if you wish. The stranger reared up and aimed a heavy cuff at Campion, who leaped back just in time. You'll be a fool, said Woundwort. Sit down. Where were you in an Ausla? Far off. The warren was destroyed by men, but I escaped. I've been wandering some time. It won't surprise you that I heard of Ephrafa. I've come a long way to join it. I thought you might have some use for me. Are you alone? I am now. Woundwort considered again. It was likely enough that this rabbit had been an officer in an Ausla. Any Ausla would want him. If he was speaking the truth, he had had wits enough to escape the destruction of his warren and survive a long journey through open country. It must have been a very long journey, for there was no warren within the normal range of the Ephrafan patrols. Well, he said at length, I dare say we might be able to find some use for you, as you put it. Campion here will look after you tonight, and tomorrow morning you'll come before the council. Meanwhile, don't start fighting, you see? We can give you plenty to do without that. Very well. The following morning, after the council had discussed the predicament of the warren due to the recent losses, General Woundwort proposed that, for a start, they might do worse than try the big newcomer as an officer in the Nearhind Mark, under the instruction of Captain Cherval. The council, having seen him, agreed. By Nefrith, Thleli, still bleeding from the mark gash inflicted in his left haunch, had taken up his duties.